Awesome. Marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. And not just how blessed we are to have these guys as part of our church, but I hope you feel something. You know, and I hope it's more than decibels or it's a little bit cold over on this side, whatever, or, you know, that you feel the presence of God. He inhabits his praises. It's like, wow. And, all right. I'm feeling emotional right now, so I don't want to talk about missing last week, whatever. But the message God gave me is I'm just adding to the word marvelous, the word really. Really. Now, that's kind of like, people still use that today. That you know, that idea, but they probably don't say really. It's just kind of how many times I say that, you know, that, you know, somebody, you know, kind of like tries to, you know, push me out of the way or whatever, or does something stupid, and you know, say, "You serious? You know, you serious?" Or you just kind of like, there's different ways of saying really, right? There's one that's enthusiastic and like celebrative. And then there's the other one with that little bit of tone of sarcasm, whatever, you know, it's kind of like, really? Which one is it for you? That's really important at Christmas time, but every day, every day. And we're, maybe you'll understand it. I know Jose's tried ever so hard to explain my European or Irish spelling and, you know, why I'm doing that, whatever. But it was just an idea that God brought on my mind. I thought that would be kind of cool way to look at it. But with a double L and I'm splitting a word up, and Marvel. So we're going to think, you know, I think about a character and think about the marvel and the magnitude and the majesty of the Christmas that we're singing about and celebrating. And then Lo was I became a Christian when I was like 20, 21, and I was still in Ireland. And to the day my dad died, he spoke normal, but when he prayed, he prayed in King James. And, it was a weird phenomenon, whatever. He just, even wrote his papers in college, you know, with these and those and whatever. It was like, it was strange. But, each to his own. And, you know, he loved his King James Bible ever. But the truth of the matter is, my early exposure to the church, you know, most people were in King James and, you know, these and those and, you know, kind of like they're reading. And so I remember. Actually, in the Christmas, it's weird how some things you remember, but how the King James would use "lo," or another way of saying "behold." So, it's marvel, lo. I'm going to look at that today, and the "us" is onto us, you know, kind of like just splitting the word up, just giving us an idea. I'm kind of a bit of a Captain America fan. I like him. He's a good guy. And if I remember how he became Captain America, was that he was basically going to get kicked out of the army. You know, he was trying to get, you know, to go through and, you know, pass all the tests and everything. And he was actually a bit of a wimp from what I remember in the movie. And he couldn't climb over the walls and all that stuff, and, you know, it was like, it was somebody you wouldn't look at you know, didn't have any muscles to flex. But it turned out that, you know, the secretive government had discovered this magic serum that, you know, could empower someone. So they wanted to find the right person to put it in, so, you know, so as it would be used for good and not for evil. That's what I remember. And one of these smart guys pretended that he, you know, in the middle of all these military guys, threw a bomb in the middle and told everybody, you know, basically, hey, it's a bomb, whatever. And you know what? You know, somebody tells you it's a bomb, and the common thing to do is, you know, scatter. And Captain America ran to the bomb and threw himself on it. Basically, you know, he was going to take it for everybody. And the powers that be were standing watching and decided that's the guy. You know, so he's already an adult. And they put the serum in him. And, you know, I wish I could get my hands on that serum. That would be good. This is kind of a sad state of affairs. Yeah, never. But truth be told, he does marvelous things, whatever. But you know, if you really, you know, think about the Christmas story, I mean, there's some parallels, but maybe the only things they have in common is for some reason he wears a helmet and. He's got a shield, you know, shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, whatever. Yeah, yeah. They don't have too much in common. So it's hard to compare them. And when you think about this, the essence of the story, just a little baby, sort of powerless, cute, remember? Like announced by angels, coming into the world, named Joshua, Jesus, you know, God saves. That's marvelous. Really? It's just like every other religion is kind of like God. God's almost unknowable, untouchable, you know. You're just, you know, don't even think about it. And just work hard and do the right things and maybe you'll get there. And yet the God of the Bible is a God who, like Natalie was saying, coming to us. Incarnated, incarcerated in the limitations of the flesh. It's crazy. Here's the verse. Hopefully we're able to find the version that I'm using, but I'm going to read mine so as you get the idea. Luke 2, 9 to 11. And lo. All right. A messenger of the Lord stood over them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they feared a great fear. And the messenger said to them, fear not, for lo, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all the people, because there was born to you today a Savior who is Christ the Lord in the city of David. Really? I'm going to come back to that in a little minute. But Luke 1, verse 8 to 11, this is kind of the verse that more sort of like got me going with the word really. I apologize now because by the time I'm finished, you're probably going to hate that word. You've heard it so many times. But if it sticks with you and you leave with it, you know, might do something. Luke 1, verse 8 to 11. Now, while Zechariah was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, he was chosen by lot. Right? Lot as not as a person, but like a form of like rolling the dice or some sort of yin and yang and, you know, that type of stuff. According to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the holy place of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole crowd of people were praying outside at the hour of the incense offering. An angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense appeared to him. All right. A little bit of background. Because in the Christmas story, there's an interesting and very just a significant parallel story that's going on in the Bible. And this is the background to what I'm trying to share with you this morning. Zechariah was a priest. Elizabeth was of the lineage of Aaron. There are 24 divisions of priests. There are probably at this point about 1,000 priests per division. So you've got like 24,000 priests. And once in their lifetime, they get to go into the holy place and burn incense. And that's depending on the lot. Whether they're chosen, whether they're singled out by God to serve. And can you try to think about this, but Zechariah, he's probably up in his 80s and 90s by now. And as an adult, as a priest, every year, when it was time to do this, all the priests would come up to Jerusalem, and depending on which like tribe it was, they'd be singled out, and then the person to do it would be singled out. And so probably for his whole adult life, he's been coming to Jerusalem, and it's never getting picked. But this is the time, this is the day, this is the year. It's like juvenile court, you know. I hate it when I get the letter, whatever. But I've been there a couple of times now, and I'm thinking, you know, it's probably, you know, I just got to go show up here because I'm never going to get picked, you know, which has been the case. I'll probably just jinx myself. But the chances of that, Elizabeth is to be the mother of John. The Elijah that's been prophesied about, not just the Messiah. She's passed her years. She's been barren. They've both been faithful and committed to God. They haven't, but they've been praying about this probably, it looks like it actually if you read it in the context, all their life. But this day, by the lot, by one of 1,000, one of 124 tribe, God puts his hand on the moment. And so when you're chosen, you go into the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but just outside where they burn incense, the prayers of the people. Isn't it interesting that all the people are there? They've gathered for this moment. They want to know their prayers are received by God. It takes an hour to do it. Sounds like a happy hour to me. He's chosen. It's a once-in-a-lifetime moment. And the angel appears to him. Your prayer's been answered. Your prayer's been heard. I've come from the very presence of God to tell you your wife's going to have a child. And that freaks him out. I'm pretty sure that would freak you out too. He's going to bear a son and even tell him his name's going to be John. But here's the thing that got, well, I think God brought it to my attention. Verse 18. How can I be sure this is going to happen? Right? What's another way of saying that? Really? It is. That's what he's really saying. Are you serious? You know. This is kind of like too much. This is the first time I've done the priest thing. Now you're going to tell me, I'm in this old ancient guy and I'm going to be a dad, whatever. You know, it's kind of like, really? And in verse 19, the angel says, I stand in the presence of God and I was sent to speak to you this word and deliver the good news. And because you did not believe the spoken word, I'm going to strike you dumb. Now, I want to pat myself on the back, but I realize sometimes I just go way too long. And it's good, but it's way too long. and so that, you know, I find myself like that. God saying that to me, you know, do you believe the word I've spoken to you? See, I could go off on that tangent, but I'm not going to ever, because I've only got an hour, right? And that's what the Bible says. But just think about that for saying, really? Now, how can I be sure? God shuts him up, strikes him dumb. And I wonder sometimes the words that we hear, the words that we know, the words that we're familiar with, that perhaps, and I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but there might be other ways that we're struck dumb. It's good news of great joy for all people. Really. But here's something, you might want to write this down a little bit. Because when the angel interrupts everything, if you read the rest of the story, everybody's standing out saying, "Where is he? Why hasn't he come out? Why isn't he finished?" The hour's up. We need to go somewhere. Are the Eagles playing today? I know. It's just kind of like, isn't it interesting? It's a great proof text for every preacher, but isn't it interesting that when God shows up, it kind of like the clock changes. I'm not making it up, okay? It's right in there. The service goes a little bit longer because God actually showed up. Really. You know, I had a moment like Zechariah last weekend. I find myself in the hospital again. I hate the way they do it. It's like, can you come in for an evaluation? I know what's coming next. It's like, we're going to have to keep you in. Is that okay? No, I want to go to church on Sunday. That's what, kind of like. That's the way I feel. I was able to watch the video. But I miss it when I have to miss it. Well, anyway, I don't know what day it was. Maybe Saturday, whatever. I was thinking I was in a deep sleep. And all of a sudden, I was awakened by this extremely bright light, and probably felt like brighter than this here. I was truly startled. The deer in headlights thing. I was kind of like, I was like totally disoriented. Where was I? What, kind of like, what was going on? What was happening? And this bright light, I could see. It looked like a man's face. And it must have, it felt like an eternity. But when I finally, it was like, my eyes stopped, racing, whatever. It's like, I could see this face. I had a beard, whatever. And then I said, Jesus? And a voice spoke back to me from the light, saying, I'm sorry I had to wake you. I've got to take your vitals. Trying to keep up with Carmen, you know. So, guess what I said to him? He said, "I'm here to take your vitals." Really? So, you know, you're not Jesus. You know, it's like so, anyway. It's a commercial I like. I'm sure you've seen it. You know, gutter ball? Really? You know, two guys sitting on the side of the court, over the, you know, their team's losing 17-0, and they're, you know, they're kind of, the buzzer goes for halftime. And really? And then some fortunate soul drives by Volkswagen and sees, you know, 0-0-0-0. And they go, really? See, there's a difference how you say it, and it changes, you know, it actually changes you. Because you believe the word that's been spoken, you believe the revelation, you believe, you know, hey, this is a deal that's really hard to believe, but you know, I should grab it. And that's what happens. You know, that's what they're doing, that's what they're selling. It's a deal you can't, you know, just turn your nose up or act like it's too good to be true. And the way they say, really, it's kind of like they're convinced. Hey, this is good news. I got to go buy this car. I got to go check out this deal, right? And the implication is that they believe the word that they receive. And so they act upon the words that they believe. All right, you follow me? Okay. So I want to play around with that idea a little bit. I could have very easily got carried away with this, whatever. But, and I was even thinking of putting names in there, but I'm thinking, you know what? People hate me, whatever, after. So I'm leaving the names blank. But feel free to fill in your own name. So-and-so said, hey, I'll see you tonight at 6. Really? So-and-so said they were a Christian. Really? I'm going to be coming more often to church. Really? Hey, so-and-so said they were using Venmo now. Really? What's Venmo? Right? Yeah, it's, so-and-so said they're going to be tithing again. Really? So-and-so said they're joining a team to serve on. Okay, you see how much fun I can have? You know, someone that said, I love this church. Really? Someone said, you know, in the new year, everything is going to change. I could have way too much fun with that. But what about the words we say? people may not say to us, really, or are you serious, River? But I bet you they do internally. Really? The Christmas message is marvelous. Really? Really? Elizabeth bears a son, John. It's a miracle. It's God's timing. He's going to be ready to prepare the way for the Messiah. Zechariah was chosen at the right time, just at the right time, a once-in-a-lifetime experience for a priest. Marvelous. Good news. Great joy for all people. Really? Zero, 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 zero. Really? The offer is only valid till December 31st. You believe the word you received. You act. You buy the car. Belief leads to action. Or at least you check out the deal. Because some of those guys, when you talk to them, your reaction really is, really? And maybe this is too simple, and maybe this is too kind of like, why do you need to spell it out? Over, but I think it's important to spell it out because nobody's left with an excuse then. We need to deal with the word that we receive. And I meet so many people. Good people, don't get me wrong. Good people, but they say, I believe in God. Well, let me say, we're probably talking to the choir, but probably every single one says, I believe in God. But let me ask you, what action has led from that belief in God? What have you been led to do since you decided you believe in God? Because if you believe in something, what's natural and what's next is action. Something happens. Let me give you a simple illustration. I believe it's really good to exercise. I believe it's really good to work out. It'll make you healthier, happier, and your life longer. I believe that. But I never go to a gym. I never work out. Listen, I don't believe it. Okay, I might say it. I might think it. But there's no action that follows the belief. Okay, is anybody still awake and following and tracking what I'm trying to say? Yep. You believe good nutrition is vitally important for your health and for your longevity. But you're in McDonald's every day. Okay? You don't believe it. Because your actions contradict it. Hello? To me, it's that simple. I believe in God. And then I just live like there is no God until I need God. That's not believing in God. That's superstition. That's religion. It's not what the Christmas story is all about. Okay. It's your story, not mine. So how it's affected my story is my story. Your story doesn't have to be like mine. But I believe the Bible is very clear. And when it says, if you say, the work of God is not just to believe in God, but to believe in the one whom he sent. And if you believe in the one whom he's sent, which is the Christmas story, is then that this action comes from that belief. It's convincing. Good news of great joy for all people. Okay? You know, some days I have crappy days. Yeah, and I have a pity party and I feel sorry for myself, whatever, you know. But am I, you know, if it's good news, am I good news? Would people want what I have? And I tell you what, to be honest, and that's in Ireland. I'm talking about in Ireland. But, you know, as a, you know, 20-year-old, whatever, and looking for any excuse, whatever, to put God on the back burner somewhere until you're, like, old and you really, you know, you're going to die and you need somebody, whatever. But it's like, you know what, all these people, you know, with their hats and their clothes and everything, going to church, whatever, and I look at them and thinking, really? I don't think the good news of great joy. You look like a sourpuss. That's what you look like. I don't think going to church is doing you any good. I mean, I'm just that's what I was like as a 20-year-old. Am I a good advertisement? Because if God is this personal and this real and miraculous, and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Begins to change us, whatever. It's like I'm a walking commercial, like Volkswagen. It's like, you know, the gospel, you know, zero down, you know, kind of like first payment zero. You just kind of like show up, believe it's a gift. Now, what's so great about the news, the good news? Just taken out from what the story itself. In Luke chapter 1, I think it's on the screen, Luke chapter 1, verse 46, 48. Mary says, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has begun to rejoice in God my Savior." Because she's believed the word that she's received. And already now, it's impacted her soul and her spirit. And she's rejoicing in God, my Savior. It's just like, how crazy is that? Hey, Mary, Jesus hasn't died yet. Hello, newsflash. No. She's been transformed because she believed the word that she received. Because he has looked upon my humble estate. Another way that's described in the Bible is in my poor state. And now all generations will call me blessed. The favor of God. The grace of God. And in her poverty, riches. That's good news, a great joy. Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, verse 25. Elizabeth says, "This is what the Lord has done for me at this time, when he has been gracious to me, to take away my disgrace." Another translation will say, to take away my shame among my people. Okay, and that's, you know, related to you're an old woman. You haven't been blessed by God. You're not favored by God. There's no fruit of your womb. That's what she's talking about. But I know when I believed the word that was spoken to me, I know that God took my disgrace and shame. That's good news. Zechariah. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has redeemed his people." Help from God. Intervention from God. To give his people, and here it is, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. That's the gospel right there. The knowledge that's heartfelt of salvation. My disgrace, my shame, my sins have been wiped away. I'm loved by God, and he is with me because I've been forgiven. A good person doesn't need a savior. That's the truth of the matter. Elizabeth of Mary, Luke 1:45. And blessed is she who believed that what was spoken to her by the Lord would be fulfilled. Zechariah didn't believe. He said, "Really?" When Mary received the word, even though it was impossible in her mind, she said, "Really? Let it be done." It's marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. And so, I'm saying to you this morning, you know, Christmas is here. Good old John Lennon, you know. So this is Christmas. What have you done? You know, another year older, new one just begun. It's same old, same old. Or am I being renewed? Am I growing in grace? I believe that Christmas is about good news of great joy for all people. And, sometimes if I try to spell it out, it might not sound like that, but that's the sort of church we want to be. That's the sort of church we wanted to be when we started. We want to be about good news of great joy for all people. Not rules, not hoop jumping, not, you know, membership, not whatever, but grace. And to resemble something that looks like what's in the Bible. And that's a really right there. Really. That was the heartbeat that started this church. So, finally. Really? Okay. What does it mean when a preacher says finally? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Absolutely nothing. All right. No, really. One of my favorite Christmas movies is Elf. It's the humor's so stupid, you know, but it's hilarious. And so I'm pretty sure I would, you know, since it came out, I watch it every year. I love it. There's one point in the movie, and this is the picture I want to leave you with. But I can't remember her name, but he's attracted to the female elf in the store, you know. And he wins Michael, his little brother, over, and Michael says, "You know, you want to ask her out? Ask her." You know, he's like, "What are you talking about?" You know, so like, "Go out to eat something. Go out to eat." And he says, "You know, I kind of like. Would you like to go out with me, or whatever? Because you know." My tongue swells when I think about you, and no, you know, it's like the weirdest, you know, setup of a date ever. So anyway, he goes out with her and he twirls around the doors and, you know, throws up and then goes back in the doors ever, and he said, "Here's the world's greatest coffee," and he takes her to the tree and they're ice skating and everything, and he, you know, so, and as you know, she goes home and he comes back up to the office. I don't know if you can picture this, whatever, but he walks into the office, he's got his coat and his hat on, and he takes his hat off and he says, "I'm in love! I'm in love! And I don't care who knows!" That's a picture right there. When you understand how marvelous this message is, not mine, but the one in the Gospels, the God making himself known, revealing himself through his Son, Jesus, who gave up his pre-existence. And come on, try to wrap your head around the incarnation. It's like it's mysterious, it's marvelous, it's incredible. But when you understand that not just this baby that was brought into the world, but how he lived and how he taught and how he demonstrated who Jesus was and how he treated people and how he was good news of great joy for all people, and the grace of God was upon him and emanated from him, and that took him to a cross, and where he said, you know, this is love. This is love. When you understand that, and I understand, you know, we all have different personalities, and, you know, some of us are flamboyant and, you know, outgoing, some of us are introverted and a few words and stuff like that there. But the picture and the heartbeat of what I'm saying is, you believe this, you know, that it's marvelous. Really? Really? This is marvelous. It's kind of like saying, I'm in love, and I don't care. Who knows? Because I'm loved by God. And I want to say, God would not want you going through another Christmas without knowing that. Merry Christmas.
You guys can stand up as we get ready to do this worship.